From the good life in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the Stop Chasing, Start Living show, where together we dig into the world of faith and finances to discover how God wants so much more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm your host, Scott Ernstmeyer, so let's start living. Well, I'd like to welcome everybody back to the Stop Chasing, Start Living podcast. My name is Scott Ernstmeyer, and I have the joy and privilege of serving as your host for this show. And if you were able to join us last time, we had a chance to dig in. I sat down with Pastor John Kunze from Messiah Lutheran, and we dug into kind of about the priority order of giving. And oftentimes we think about end-of-year gifts really taking place literally at the end of the year in December, and it's kind of like what's the best for my taxes, what's left over. And we just dug into what does it mean to place God first. And here at Messiah, we're talking about Advent giving, giving in anticipation of what is to come, and that idea of trusting God with what we don't know yet, and not necessarily giving from what's left over, but giving from what's first, those first fruit gifts. So hopefully you're able to join us for that episode. If you weren't, I encourage you to go back and grab a listen on that one. But today, we're going to take a look back at 2025. We're going to look at everything that, some of the bigger events that happened during the year. I'll dig into maybe some recap of this show, and then some things that I feel like I've learned. And so if you're wondering who's joining me on the podcast today, no one is. It's just me. So if that causes you to immediately turn off this podcast, I will not be offended. But it's just me in the studio this morning. It's nice and early on a Friday, cold Friday morning here in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's still dark outside. School has not yet started, and just kind of hanging out, a little quiet in the room. But wanted to just spend a little bit of time looking in the rearview mirror before we have a chance to get excited about what is to come. And so thanks for joining this morning. And again, as we dig in, you know, these are my opinions. You know, I'm going to be sharing a few things from my heart, just reflecting from my seat. It's not an endorsement of where I go to church at Messiah. It's just really this is kind of the raw Scott, if you will. So, kind of looking back into 2025, man, there's been a lot that's gone on in the last year. If you look at around culture, around the world, and not overly surprising, you know, we are a world of conflict. There's still a lot of things going on in the world that are disruptive, very hard on people. You look at the war between Ukraine and Russia has not resolved. A lot of loss of life, a lot of loss of property. In Sudan, there's been a renewal of conflict there. It's not that there's been a great time of peace, but it's spurred on again. And you think about Israel and the Gaza Strip and the Palestinians and just this ongoing, literally centuries-year-old struggle for kind of for authority and rights within a part of the world. You know, I had a reality check on that when Sarah and I had a chance to go to Israel when we were just newly married in 1999. And we ended up having a great experience over there. I had a chance to see a lot of great things, spend time with family, and did a lot of learning and really appreciated the time. But one of the cool parts is we had a Palestinian bus driver. His name was Ahmed, and taught us songs, was a great resource, taught us some words over there and some cultural things, certainly. And probably the most impactful thing he did on our drive back to the airport at the end of that trip, you know, he got kind of serious. He's a pretty gregarious guy, really nice. But he got kind of serious and he said, you know, if there's any hope and prayer I have for you is as you go back to the United States and you have a chance to talk about the people of this culture and the people in this part of the world, he got real serious and he said, you know, I'm a simple man. I have a family, children, and a lot of people, in part because what they see on the news, you know, just things that they're ignorant about, just assume every Palestinian is a war-seeking, conflict-making individual. And he said, I'm a peaceful man. I just want to enjoy life with my family. And it kind of hit me like a brick because it was a realization for me that I really hadn't been too far out of Nebraska very often, and some traveling in the United States, but certainly not internationally. And what did I know about people from that region? Well, it was what I would see on TV And it's really easy to make assumptions. And so, you know, as you watch these conflicts going on around the world, I think the thing for me that's always a kind of a cold, stark reminder is there's a lot of people whose lives are just significantly disrupted that really they don't they're not fully a part of the conflict. They are because they live there and they're in that community, but they're not. A lot of them aren't fighting. They're not part of the war. They're just disrupted. Their lives are changed, and oftentimes changed forever. Boy, if you look at pictures of the Gaza Strip right now, it's powerfully painful. And so, just a reminder that you know, our God is a God of peace, and some of these conflicts have roots literally clear back in the Bible. And that's something I think we all continue to pray for and hope for is to find a time in the world where there's peace, where there isn't death because of conflict like this. And but that's been a cold, stark reality of 2025. A couple other quick things. Obviously, we've had a transition in presidential leadership with Trump making his way back into the White House. And I'm not overly political at my core, and so I know there's a lot of opinions around his presidential leadership. For me, there's a lot of the hoopla and some of the stuff that I don't always appreciate. But one of the things, you know, that he's literally had a war on tariffs this year. I think, amongst other things, I think one of the things that I have appreciated about what has been the start of this round of presidential leadership is he's attacking a lot of things that have kind of gone on for years and years and years unchecked and unchanged. And it's kind of become the establishment almost, so to speak. And he's like, why are we doing this? And he's really trying to challenge, like, let's like blow it up and start it over and see if we can reset. And, you know, his leverage is always trying to make it better for the United States, but ultimately just challenging these things that have just gone on for years and years and years. So in some ways I really appreciate that, because it's oftentimes, I think, even within the political world and the lanes people pick in politics, a lot of times things just go as they've gone for a long, long time unchecked. And I think he's really trying to challenge that. Probably one of the more divisive cultural events that took place this year was the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And in some ways sparked a lot of conversation in what I hope and pray to be a good way. You know, Charlie Kirk, his whole platform was to try to engage in conversation. I know there are people that didn't always appreciate how he approached the conversation. Very matter of fact, very, I think at times maybe he came off as smarter than everyone else in the room. And in some ways he was a very smart man. But his goal was to engage in dialogue. And as we've come to learn more and more about this emerging generation, these younger people are seeking truth. And they want a dialogue, and they want to learn, and they want to understand. And the reality of it is Charlie Kirk was really trying and attempting to do that in their spaces, on their turf, and in a way that he was trying to really share biblical truth. And again, whether you liked his approach or not, what the heart of what he wanted was for the next generation to understand God and understand the truth of Scripture. And I think that's really where some of that challenging, I think, divide took place. And I think it sparked an additional conversation. So in some ways, you know, 2025 could almost be considered a year of dialogue. And that was at the core of what Charlie Kirk was attempting to accomplish through his ministry. As we look back to 2025, you always kind of maybe take stock of like who's passed away in the last year. Just kind of took a quick peek before jumping on to do the podcast today. Some celebrities that have passed away in the last year. And when I think of celebrities and, you know, their deaths, it's like they take you to a point in time in your life, a memory or a series of memories, just because of how you may have interacted with that person through whatever genre they were in, whether musician or actor or whatever it might have been. This last year, Brian Wilson, one of the Beach Boys, passed away. Just iconic music. I can think of listening to a lot of Beach Boys when I was a little kid. And it just takes me back to some cleaning times in the house or summer and reading books and listening to good music. And so, again, really cool memories. Malcolm Jamal Warner, one of the original cast members of The Cosby Show, one of the most popular shows when I was a kid growing up. And he went on to have, you know, quite an acting career. But, you know, just think about, you know, it takes you back to being a little kid watching that show and kind of being America's Family at the time. It was pretty cool. Hulk Hogan passed away this last year. Saturdays, watching professional wrestling. I'm still not 100% sure how I got away with doing that, my brother and I. But boy, Hulk was just a larger than life character in the wrestling scene when I was a kid growing up. Ozzy Osbourne passed away this year. Obviously a musician, and I can't say that I listened to a lot of Ozzy Osbourne music. Probably the one that I'm most familiar with is Crazy Train, but you know, he had a lot of influence through song over the course of his career and lifetime. And then actor Gene Hackman. In a lot of different things. I went and looked up his top 10 movies of all time, thinking, oh, you know, my favorite is Hoosiers. That's got to be up there pretty high. And kind of all the experts had it maybe barely in the top 10 at number 10. Most known for the movie Unforgiven, which I think I've seen, but not 100% sure. And I'd forgotten that he was in the original Superman back in 1978 with Christopher Reeve. So long, long career, great actor. And again, like, thinking of him, what memories does that take me back to? And some of those fun movies that he was in. And as I think back to 2025, you know, one of my greatest appreciations really is for getting this podcast off the ground. To be honest with you, I really struggled with whether I had enough to offer the world in terms of, you know, why me? Why should I try to do a podcast? And finally, God kind of hit me over the head with the Holy Annual and said, Ernstmeyer, it's not about you. There's a lot of other people you can sit with and talk to and learn from and really have an opportunity to pull great wisdom out of that can be shared with others. And so I'm really thankful for all the guests that have said yes to being a part of this journey, just digging into the heart. You know, It was framed and is continued and will continue to be framed as a podcast that tries to dig into the heart of what it means to be generous and, you know, what we have to give the world and why we should plug into being a generous person in a variety of different ways. But, you know, each one of our journeys is unique. My prayer, even through the role that I have here at Messiah in the generosity and stewardship space, is that I fully understand that I can't have an impact in any way in that space unless a heart is first impacted, and that heart gets impacted by what God's doing through the Spirit in the lives of people. And there's great days in that, and there's tough days. This is the same journey I'm on every day. Is, you know, you're going to have high points, you're going to have low points, and ultimately, what God wants for your heart is that you're on that journey and you're walking with Him. And so I just have so appreciated how we've been able to tap into that through this show. We've had quite a few variety of different guests, some topics that are a little bit more fun, a little more light in nature, with great wisdom and just guests sharing great experience. And then some other ones that have gotten a little bit more raw and a little bit more real. Maybe one of the ones that stands out was, you know, invited my really good friend, Aaron Davison, to talk about his platform, is talking about attitude. And, you know, there's anything I appreciate about AD is he gets real, and we got into the topic of grief, and you never know when grief's going to come up and hit you, and it literally hit him on the show. And as new to a podcast hosting, I was like, oh no, what do I do? But it was so genuine and it was so real, and so it was easy to relate to. And so I really appreciated Aaron sharing his heart during that show and kind of walking through how hard it's been losing family members and how that's put him into a tough spin at times. And I think his heart as a dad, second guessing whether he was always fully present for his kids, and an affirmation from one of his kids that he absolutely was, and that he's as dad is their hero. So that was a powerful show. I think also about the show, I had a chance to sit down with one of my former students, and Misty Rauscher, who is a life coach, and she really did a great job of digging into, you know, how do you blow the lid off of life? How do you find the best version of yourself? How do you continue to dream big and then find a way to get there, break through the ceilings, break through the noise, break through your own self-doubt and accomplish the things, be the version of and accomplish the things that God has in store for you. And you know, that she gets a chance to do that in a very real way as a life coach, just kind of asking hard questions, asking maybe the questions people don't ask of themselves, and then putting really strong challenges in front of her clients and walking with them through that and having a chance to be the person that gets to hold them accountable. So really appreciate her ministry and the wisdom she had to share that day as well. And so again, I could go on and on, just some great topics and great conversations, but those are a couple that really stood out from this past year. You know, in my world in 2025, the biggest event that I had and the one that brought the most joy in my heart is I had a kid get married. Oldest daughter, Kayla, had a chance to walk her down the aisle in early September. So happy for her. Happy for her to find her person. You know, Sarah and I had an experience, which a lot of people do. You find your person when you're in college. And she graduated and kind of moved on into her career. And I know that's hard sometimes for people. Sometimes it's the rhythm is like, hey, I got to live life. I got to, you know, find out who I am first before I really get serious. But for others, it's like, man, I'm not finding my person. I'm not finding my person. And she certainly found her person in Ty. And I just, man, so thankful for him, what he means in her life. The opportunity to now have a son-in-law is pretty cool. As a father of three daughters. But just all the family and friends that had a chance to celebrate with us and just be about that love that's got us started through the hearts of Kayla and Ty. That's just been such a blessing. And so, Ty, I didn't mean to almost call you Kai there, but, you know, I started saying Kayla and then said your name. So my bad on that. No, it was fun. We had a lot of fun with that. And as a dad, you kind of, you know, what's the role of a dad at a wedding? You know, the joke is you just write the checks, which certainly is true. But, you know, I really tried to wrestle through, you know, what's my opportunity to try to impart some wisdom, just be available, be an encourager, and at the end of the day, just try to have fun. And, you know, as for those of you that are young parents or not all the way home on having kids getting married, you know, my encouragement to you, and this continues to be encouragement for myself, is, you know, just keep making memories, be fully present, have that unconditional love, and find ways to, boy, if you've got some fractures in some relationships or maybe not quite as full a healthy relationship as you want with your kids, you know, set a goal to work on that. Have no regrets. It's never too late to make memories, whether you're the parent of a 3-year-old or you're the parent of a 40-year-old. It's never too late to make memories. And at the end of the day, in family, all that matters is the time you get to spend and the love you get to share together. And so really appreciated kind of getting a little bit of a reset with all of that through a wedding this year. And just look forward to kind of new rhythms through those relationships kind of moving forward. You know, and as I think about 2025, kind of shifting gears just a little bit, kind of spent a little time in preparing for this show today. You know, what has God been doing in my life? You know, sometimes the personal testimonies give the listeners an opportunity to say, where am I in that space? You know, I've been in a transition now for about 18 months, moving from the space of education and leadership in education into a church ministry. Really initially getting into generosity and stewardship, really with a heart of, in my heart, wanting to impact the hearts of others. And, you know, how can you use me in this space? Much different rhythms, much different journey, but yet parallel opportunities to serve. And, you know, I thought I knew what direction I was going and what God wanted for me in that. And as I've had a chance to participate as a member of this team, you know, God has said really clearly to me, you know, Ernst Meyer, I know you think you know what's necessary, but, you know, I might have some other things in store for you. So, you know, he's got some humor. You know, I've been pulled back a little bit into the operational space, leading kind of on the financial and operational side, just because there's a need in the ministry and some experience and skill sets. And God's like, man, I've been forming you for all these years. I need you to use this stuff. And so I don't know that I've gone kicking and screaming, but I've gained an appreciation for the fact that, you know, our journey in terms of how we get to live our lives and serve, and, you know, I can make choices, but ultimately I have to also listen and ask God to direct me. And so that's been kind of fun. And one of the things that's been a fun reset too is, you know, I've had a chance to really work with a lot of people over the years, and I've had a chance to reflect and recognize that, you know, I don't know that I've always led people well. And that's been one of my opportunities through this shifting gears and reset is to reconsider is what does it mean to lead people? What does it mean to walk with people? And through part of my transitions, I've been asked to do that. And, you know, leadership isn't about oversight. It's not about micromanaging. It's not about telling someone else what to do. Leadership is walking with someone. Leadership is dreaming with someone. Leadership is looking out to the future and trying to work together to dream towards something. And one of the most important pieces of that is we as people oftentimes can shortchange ourselves on maybe what the best version of ourselves is. And I believe in leadership more than ever now is that my job when I'm getting a chance to walk with someone is to look at them and dream for them. What is the best version of them as a leader? Not only in the role that they have here at Messiah where I get a chance to serve, but even longer term than that. And dream bigger than maybe they can dream, look out further than maybe they're looking right now, and then just walk with them in terms of helping them step towards that space. And I'm not perfect at that yet, but it's something that I'm excited to get to do in this ministry. There's a number of people I get to walk with, and a phrase that kind of hit me over the head this last year is, are you a reservoir or are you a river? You know, if you're a reservoir, and I think I've shared this on the show before, if you're a reservoir, you're a person that holds back the water, you store it up, you collect it. If you're a river, you're passing it on, you're sending it downstream. And in leadership, you know, an opportunity to serve in a ministry, you know, I could put my head down and just do great things and get my stuff done and be thankful for what I'm getting accomplished and glad when people pat me on the back. But ultimately, there's an opportunity, whatever level you serve in, to pour in others and to be that river and to try to make other people's worlds better. And so, again, not perfect at that, but something that's on my heart to continue to work towards. And that other phrase that I've come to love in this last couple of years is the understanding that you know we as people are more than rich enough to be generous. In this case, with my time and sharing things I've learned from mistakes, things that have gone well. You know, again, it's easy to say I'm too busy. I've got too many things going on, but ultimately, God has provided me plenty in my life in terms of experiences and knowledge. And it's like, can I understand I can be generous by passing that along? And for any one of us, you know, that can be in mentoring, Bible study leading, just walking with other people, going to coffee, checking in with people, like understand, you know, we're all rich enough to be generous. We're so blessed. And part of life is just walking with people and living life and doing life together and being an encouragement to others. And I've had some cool people in my life do that for me. And I'm hopefully now starting to get to this space in my own head and time where I can pass that along to others. But ultimately, you know, I stepped into the space of generosity and I love it. You know, some people question talking about money and talking about this and talking about that. And, you know, why do we spend time on this? And for me, it's our resources and our money are a gateway to our heart. Our resources and our money, you know, whether it's our time, talent, financial resources, they literally are how God can form us and shape us. When we try to control them, when we try to set goals and kind of almost choke God out of those goals and say, hey, here's what I'm doing in life, here's what I'm going to accomplish, it's pretty hard for him to impact us. It's pretty hard for him to do the things in our lives that he wants to do. But when we really relax our grip and we let go, there's really some cool ways that God works in and through that letting go. That are really, really powerful. You know, one of the Bible passages that I've come to really appreciate, and I've shared it a couple times on the show, I'm going to read it again. It's from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. You know, David longed to build the temple, and God told him, sorry, buddy, it's not happening. Your son's going to do it, but you're not. But the cool part is David had a chance to kind of prepare and pave the way that it could happen. David had a lot of resources that he put towards it. He reached out to other leaders in the kingdom and said, hey, we got to do this. And it talks about that the leaders of the father's houses made their free will offerings. You know, these are things above and beyond their normal tithe giving that they had been doing to support the ministry of the church. They came forward with other stuff. And it's a lot. And it's not too long after this they get a chance to start building the temple. But David puts it all in perspective. He wanted to give a prayer as they stood before all this stuff and be really to say, hey, guys, we did a great job. Like, let's cheer for ourselves. Look at all the things we did. But he flipped it all on its head. And he said, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give some and give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. When we pray in this way, when our hearts get to this place where we have a full 100% recognition that everything we have is not our own. Not my life, not my intelligence, not my family, not my car, not my house, not my 401k, which I don't even have. All that we have, absolutely everything we have, it's God's. He provided it. He gave it. Most importantly, he gave of his own son powerfully so that I could have eternal life with him. It's all his. When I, as a person, try to hold on to that and wrestle it and make it my own, my heart's not in a good place. God doesn't have access to my heart because I'm too busy chasing and holding on and squeezing and trying to make life make sense. And when we can flip that back and say, God, thank you for your spirit working in my heart. I now understand none of this is mine. There's just this whole cool thing that God can do in our world. Certainly it puts things in perspective. It gives us a chance to have just a greater joy understanding, hey, okay, I got this stuff that God's provided me. He's given it all to me. He says, now you can make decisions with it. What are you going to do? And we get this cool opportunity to manage, literally manage what God has given us. And certainly a lot of it's going to go towards living life and making ends meet and all that kind of stuff. But boy, there's just such a joy and an opportunity to say, boy, where can I make an impact? Where can I use some of what God has given me to impact others? And so that's the space that I'm so appreciative to be in and to want to teach and want to help people get to that place in their hearts. Because that's a hard journey in the world today. The world doesn't have that message. And when we've chased a lot, we've all been in that place at one point or another in our lifetime, but some are stuck there. Some of us are stuck there. We literally are so upside down with the choices we've made, debt, whatever it might be. We've never had a chance to really say, what does it mean to put God first, to acknowledge it's all his anyway, and then start with his heart in mind when we plan around things like budgets and spending and those kinds of things. And ultimately, that's a hard place to shift to. And the only way that can happen, and it's actually come up multiple times in this show, is it starts with a conversation with God. It starts with a prayer. It starts with acknowledging, like, God, I don't have this. I'm not in control. I can't do this myself. It gets into this place where you have to lean in and let God just envelop you in his arms and say, I got you. I've already given you everything. Let me help you. And then from there, it has to be ongoing conversations, because that's not just one prayer. That's an ongoing prayer of like, oh, Lord, okay, Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand it. It's hard. There's things I have to change. There's things I have to give up. There's things I have to completely rethink. And then as you start stepping into that space, God just starts peeling off layers after layer after layer of like old history, wounds, all kinds of things that have caused us to get to maybe that place where we just don't know where to start. And it's a journey, and there's going to be good times and bad times, but ultimately, God's prayer is for us to have relinquished and really just let go to him, that he can have that first seat on our heart, the right seat on our heart. Because when we get into that space, then he's got the wheel. Like we're not side seat driving, we're not back seat driving. We're letting go and letting him drive. The people that have really figured that out, I don't know that I feel like I'm all the way home on that for sure, but you know, there's good days and bads, but the people that have really figured that out in their walk, tell you what, they have a different joy. They have a different peace in life. There's an understanding that even when they get hit over the head with something ugly and gross, that there's the rest of the story that they can't see yet, and that God will reveal that when he decides to. And even in those hard, hard days where there could be a lot of pain and a lot of agony, there's an understanding like there's the end of the tunnel. Like I know God's going to take me somewhere. And so, you know, if there's one prayer that I have for you, if you're still getting this far into a 30-minute podcast and you're still listening to the guy that's babbling about 2025, if there's one prayer I have for you is just remember that life is a journey. It's not perfect. It's a process. God's at work. It isn't going to stop until he calls us home. And there's never a day where we can't set a new goal and make a stronger tomorrow and walk with the Lord and let him guide us to what he's got in mind for us. And so I'm thankful to get to do what I do. I'm thankful to get a chance to share my heart, even through things like this podcast, but ultimately knowing that God's already at work. You know, here at Messiah, we talk about joining Jesus on his mission. He's already at work, whether it's in my life or in the lives of the people around me or people that I haven't even met yet. And he wants for us to have enough margin in our lives and to have enough of him, walking with him, placing him in the right seat that we can hear when he calls, that we can see when he shows us, and we can respond when he puts things in front of us in ministry and opportunity. And so, Lord, my prayer for you is through the Lord, you have a chance to see that in the not only what he's done for you in 2025, where he's shown up, where he's been present, but as you look forward to the year to come, and we'll talk about this next show, but as you dream, as you prepare, as you get excited about kind of some new beginnings, that every day is a new start. Every day we get a chance to literally start over with the Lord and ask him to bless your day, ask him to guide you, ask him to do great things in and through you and me. And so I'm thankful for that, and that's where I'd like to go today. Father God, I just thank and praise you. Lord, as we think back to 2025, a lot of stuff's happened. Some of it emotional, some of it challenging, some of it's heart-wrenching. But Lord, you've been at work in our lives. Lord, hopefully you're changing us, you're growing us, you're shaping us, you're molding us, your spirit moving through our hearts so that we can be each day a little bit more healthy and a little bit more available for you. Lord, if there's a listener on here that's struggling with a specific area, something they're gripping and holding on to, Lord, I just pray that they spend a little extra time after the show today in prayer with you. I pray that, Lord, you challenge in their heart the opportunity to let go and place it at your feet and to release it, and then set a new goal around it and ask you into that and to the solution and into the action that a lot of times, Lord, we certainly can't do ourselves. Invite other people, godly people around them into that. But Lord, ultimately, so thankful for all that you're doing in my life, the lives of the people I get a chance to interact with, the lives of our listeners. I just pray, Lord, as we think back and look back on 2025, we're thankful that we acknowledge you for who you are as a great God. And as we seek you moving forward each and every day, as we look forward to a year to come, Lord, that we can acknowledge your greatness and your power. Lord, it's all yours. The entirety of ourselves, we're all yours. I'm just thankful, Lord, for what you're doing in the hearts of people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, if you're still hanging out at this point in the show, I just want to appreciate your listen. I want to encourage you to really enjoy the upcoming holidays. You know, this will drop kind of over the Christmas, New Year's break. And I just pray that God's working mightily in your heart, that you're having an opportunity to listen and see what he wants for you to make change and make a big difference in the world of those around you. So God's blessings to you as you close out 2025. And as a reminder to all of you, stop chasing. God wants you to start living.
Thank you for tuning in to Stop Chasing, Start Living. This has been a production of Messiah Lutheran Ministries. Make sure you subscribe to Messiah Lutheran on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about Messiah Ministries? Visit us at messiah.us. Our goal is to be a resource to you as you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your generosity. If you would like to connect with Scott, please send an email to scott.ernstmeyer@messiah.us. Thanks again for listening. Now let's start living.